wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning. Good Tuesday morning today, kids. When John tells me something I can't ever talk about ever.
That's all right.
And I just have to sit here and just die a slow death.
Just die your slow death on your own, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
It turns out I'm actually a little sick. I was COVID booster shot sick over the weekend. Lasted about a day and a half. It's no fun. It's like having, I like to say I've had like COVID five times.
Yeah.
But I don't react,
I have to get
well
mine today
to COVID. But I also felt kind of not great. I took a COVID test, came back negative, and then I woke up this morning with a nose full of blood,
good,
bunch of phlegm, and I thought, I got a little something else going. That's good, because I only have to get six freaking players done per day for my drafting, and that's a bunch of safeties, and nothing I hate worse than safeties.
Why do you hate safeties the most?
It's just boring. It takes forever to see what you need to see. Although PFF, the Pro Football Focus, so my tape is connected to, so here's an example. I'll just show you a screen here. So on the screen, I got six different safeties, right? This is Pro Football Focus. I don't care about their grades. I do care about their data. But this is really cool. So you see where it says MTs, that's missed tackles?
Yeah.
I can go watch every missed tackle for a player. I click it and it'll just go missed tackle, missed tackle. So I watch all of them. So it speeds up the process. Used to be, before I had this 2 years ago and used it, I would just have to watch a bunch of tape, just like,
waiting for him to do
something. Next play, next play, next play.
Yeah.
So this actually speeds it up. But I don't know. It's just, I love watching running backs. I love writing up running backs and tight ends. Everyone thinks offensive line. I mean, yeah, I like off, and I'm pretty good at offensive line. I'm best at tight ends. I'm very best. If I write up a safety, you can just coin flip it. I might get it. I might not. I don't ever think safeties are good. And then a guy will end up being really good. A guy that I think is good. It's like safeties are just, to me, safeties are one of the hardest positions, because that's the one thing when I don't really talk to Ballard.
Well, here's
that much
the thing is they're not fast enough to play corner.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that they're a safety in college.
Some are now, but it's weird because the safety position, like for the Texans, let's bring it back to the Texans. So safeties used to be, when we just 20 years ago, for example, a safety needed to be at least 210 pounds, right?
Yeah.
You need to be 6'1", 210. You're a bigger guy. You're like a small, you're like a really big corner or a small linebacker. You're one or the other, but you are a bigger guy. Now, you don't even have to be 200 pounds anymore, but you better really be able to cover it. But you do have to be able to tackle. So as a safety, you got to be able to tackle. Well, I go back to the Texans, and you see some of the guys they have, like Eric Murray. You know, it's just, you got to be a good tackler. You have to have a certain amount of speed. But remember when Justin Reed was getting matched up on Mecole Hardman? That's also the problem now. Safeties, because so many teams can scheme you into having to cover man-to-man, you got to have a certain amount of speed and cover talent too now. So it's gotten weird where a lot of safety teams are okay with transitioning corners to safety as long as they're tough enough to tackle a little bit. So, like, the game is changing. When I started writing up players for the NFL in the fall of 2014, the changes in how certain players, like how many players now are out of the shotgun, quarterbacks, almost all of them,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
That wasn't like that 7 years ago when I started. How many safeties now are 198 pounds or 195 pounds? None were back then. They were all bigger. Now, but the game is changing so much faster than anybody probably realizes. And because it's a copycat league, if one team starts, you know, if all these teams start doing all this stuff offensively, now, you know, now I'll give you another example. The success with Matt LaFleur and Shanahan and all those guys, it's okay to have a 240, and Gary Kubiak, you know, you you have to have the combination tight ends, right? Garrett Graham, Owen Daniels. Well, now they're less – they want you to be able to block, but they figured out, we'll run the same offense, but you don't have to block. You can be Robert Tonyan, a former running back, a former wide receiver, who will just turn you into a tight end, but you don't even really have to block, but we'll call you a tight end. So now half the tight ends I watch.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Graham started that, didn't he?
80%. Yeah. But he was a big guy.
Yeah.
80% of the guys now.
He still didn't block.
So here's what I watch. 80% are guys who don't block at all and can't block. And then like 10% are former basketball players with no tape. Hey, Lance, can you write up this power forward from DePaul? What? Here, this is this guy from Chile. He's in the international program. He played basketball at Tulane 2 years ago. How do I write that up? What do I look for?
Got a great jumper.
I got to look for YouTube videos of him like doing dunks, like explosive.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
well, maybe if you wouldn't have such a hard time. I'm looking through my timeline, and I didn't look at it at all after the show yesterday. But hey, here's Lance with Dulce. Here's Lance with Dustin. Here's Lance with Dustin. Lance replying to John Clay Wolf.
That's this
Lance
morning.
That's all this morning?
Yeah, I just
what
saw him this
morning.
What the
hell are you
doing? I woke up early. I couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I couldn't stay asleep, so I woke up and, well, actually, I was already awake then, but.
What are you doing?
I just saw him. I just checked Twitter, and then I saw that stuff, and it seems like people are so, like, there's a confusion why players have to play anymore. Can't they just have money?
Can't they just get paid without without playing?
I don't know. I don't even, like, NFL can
you know
cut
what
players.
Started all this?
Why can't the players just quit? Like, you can quit anytime you want.
Yeah, and then you don't get paid.
You don't get paid. Most NFL contracts, a chunk of them are guaranteed now. You guys know that the numbers, the years have never mattered on NFL contracts. Only now do they matter more because most of it is guaranteed. Players are protected by dead cap space. They're protected for not getting cut. So NFL players are not just cut randomly, like, I'll cut the guy and never pay him.
No.
It's not how this
works. Well, but there's plenty of teams with a lot of dead cap money.
Those were contracts that were given out with high guarantees.
What started all of this crap, if you want to know the truth, is load management. All of this started with guys starting to just sit and not play.
Yeah, that's not...
Spurs started that crap.
It started innocuously enough with an older team who realized our eyes are on the championship prize.
Yes.
And now what we've got, and it's worked its way all the way down to opt-outs and...
In high school.
Yeah.
Seniors in high school going, You know, and the first time I ever heard of, well, why doesn't he just not play? It was Jadeveon Clowney. Why does he just not play? Because he doesn't need to prove anything. And it was like, you know, that's probably right. Jadeveon Clowney would still be the number one pick if he didn't play it down this year.
But here's the thing. He never got better.
No.
To this point,
he
never became the great player. And
that
one guy,
said, Jamar Chase sat out last year and was awesome.
Jamar Chase also played in a national championship season where he showed out. Jadeveon Clowney knocked somebody's helmet off one time.
Yeah.
His tape wasn't
incredible.
Well,
I know,
incredible.
But that body
Jadeveon wasn't skilled, though. But the big difference is, no matter who you are, look, Micah Parsons didn't. He opted out, too.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons was rookie of the year and will be probably defensive player of the year within the next 3 years.
What does that tell you? Now, all of a sudden, look, I'm rookie. I'm okay. Look at rookies of the year. Guess what? They didn't play the year before.
But we'll see if you say it like that. But here's the thing. Both of those guys have inordinate amounts of talent. And that's where people make the mistakes. These are freaks. I mean, they're freak shows. If you go look at their physical measurables and all that stuff, they're absolute freak shows. And they love it a lot. Like, they work hard. They're extraordinarily talented. Most of these guys who opt out now, really, frankly, are not super talented. Some are super talented, but most are not going to be super talented. And they were opt-outs of a COVID year. And I was happy to see that not as many players quit in the middle of the year, because that's the concern, is that players will just start quitting in the middle of the year, just say, I'm going to go get ready for the NFL draft. Not just say...
Oh, you mean like Calvin Ridley?
Well, no, that's an NFL... Yeah, there's another one who feels like he was using mental health.
Well, we'll see
buffer.
If that's the case.
We'll see.
If he just starts playing again next year.
We don't know. We haven't heard updates on that.
No.
And so we don't know, but that started a leak out of there. And so we'll see what happens with it. But The difference in 2014 is Jadeveon Clowney was a guy who didn't work hard at South Carolina. Steve Spurrier was telling people that. He didn't work in practice, didn't want to practice. And then in the same draft, you have Aaron Donald, who's one of the great weight room workers, practice workers, one of the most competitive guys in history. One guy will go down as wasted talent, who is pretty good, but is still looking for a quote-unquote second contract. Still looking for a second contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his, what, fourth team, going to be his fifth team. And then you've got, it's about to be Jadeveon Clowney's fifth team, John. It's about to be his fifth team since 2014. That's the guy who didn't want to practice, didn't want to work on stuff in Houston, and he keeps talking about, I need to get better. This is the offseason. I need to work. He's on his fifth team. Aaron Donald is working on his, you know, working on his fifth defensive player of the year soon. So you either, the guys who work their asses off in any sport and ones who love it, hopefully Nick Caserio can find guys who have that rare physical, that rare makeup. And not just him, but Rafael Stone too. You know, I'm really hopeful that Rafael Stone, that Jalen Green becomes that kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, that Jay Sean Tate is that kind of guy. You get enough of those guys and it becomes a movement. The Astros have those guys. I mean, I always look at the Astros and I think we have such a great blueprint for how it can be done. And I'm not talking about you have to tank and all this stuff.
Well, but obviously, you did. But you did. You needed Carlos and you needed.
But it takes good evaluations because lots of first rounders flame out in baseball.
But you
and
got
second rounders.
Well, there's another thing. Look at the Texans' first round choices. And instead of Michael Vick the year before, they had Derek Carr the next year.
And, but Julius Peppers was there.
Julius Peppers was there, but Julius Peppers is not a guy you build a team around. It's a quarterback position that you build a team around.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, great, but you don't build a team around Julius Peppers. Especially an expansion team.
You build teams around Hall of Famers.
You need to start with
a quarterback. Is the way they should have. You don't just start with a quarterback. You start with the right quarterback.
Well, absolutely.
And I don't know that – and Derek Carr – and actually David Carr was not the right quarterback.
No, he wasn't.
None of the quarterbacks in that draft were – was Harrington?
No.
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 The quarterbacks that you just happened to be – you're right.
Yeah.
The timing was bad. Jadeveon Clowney, you had Aaron Donald in that draft, but no one was drafting a 280-pound defensive tackle first.
That was the question. What if the Texans had drafted Aaron Donald instead of – Nobody thought that.
The one guy – and I had him on. My buddy who was analytics director for Tampa, his first year in the league, his analytics model had Aaron Donald one, and he said it out loud to a team full of coaches and scouts when he had to have his ratings, and they were like, a 280-pound, he's going to get destroyed. And they're like, I can't do it with this analytics. And this is 2014. And they're like, this analytics, I mean, are we done with the stats guy? Because this guy's terrible. What are you doing, Jason Light? And Jason's like, oh, my God, what did I hire? I hired a guy who told us a 280-pound defensive tackle is the best player. But Tyler had him one and Khalil Mack too. And, you know, but it, you would have never drafted a 280-pound defensive tackle.
Yeah, there's a story this morning, as a matter of fact, in Fan Nation, Texans Daily. What if Texans had drafted Donald over Clowney? Then they'd still be crappy. What are you talking about? Because Bill O'Brien probably would have run him out anyway.
Hey, and just our luck, you get the third, you know, last year in an incredibly deep draft. You have a great pick last year in an incredibly deep draft. You don't have it. This year, you're like, hey, we got the third pick. It's not that great a draft.
Well, but at the third pick should be pretty good. If Evan Neal is sitting there, listen, the third overall pick better be pretty good. This isn't the NBA draft. This is the NFL draft. The third overall pick better be pretty good.
Yeah, okay. You can't miss a third pick. And frankly, I would trade back if I could.
Oh, here's a very interesting trade scenario for your Houston Texans. We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about HRP, and that's Mike Holley, and he's a Coug. And listen, if you are somebody that it doesn't matter what your school affiliation is, it's what do you want? How do you want to get your payroll done? I mean, do you want to spend more by having three or four people in your accounting department to do four, five, six people? I don't know how big your business is, but whatever the case may be, you know, cut it back and get it done economically by a company that does this all day long, and they can do it a lot more efficiently and effectively than you can. And oh, by the way, well, here's the deal, is if you're with another payroll company right now, but you're not completely satisfied, how are they taking care of you come tax time? How are they taking care of your Affordable Care Act? How did they take care of you during the pandemic? Were they there for your small business loan? Were they there for your unemployment claims? Were they there for HR? Were they there for all the things that you needed during the pandemic? HRP was for us, and they will be for you. All you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Let them customize a plan for you. It's not cookie cutter. Everybody's different. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, the NFL offseason is underway, and there are all kinds. There's all kinds of movement going to be made. A lot of teams, you know, with all the quarterbacks drafted, with everything, you know, all the teams that every single year, the movement, the free agent movement, everything else, there is so much. About a third of the teams need a quarterback, are still quarterback hungry out there. Carson Wentz, probably done in Indianapolis, gave up a first-round pick for the dude, and they have to go out and get somebody again because, obviously, it was a disaster this year at the end for Carson Wentz. Your Houston Texans are going to be front and center in a lot of talks. How about Deshaun Watson for Kyler Murray?
No thanks.
Well, I know you don't
three-way
want
trade, but how about send this? Him to Daryl Morey.
No, what?
No, I, don't,
now
I don't,
listen,
don't have an
now
interest
hear in... it out. Now, don't just your thought about Kyler Murray. Okay, put that aside. Look at the player. You know, I know you don't want that on your field. That's not what you want. But actually, if you want to know the truth, Kyler Murray's pretty good. Got his team to the playoffs. Has failed at the end of seasons, but he's a young quarterback. He is an exciting quarterback. He was in MVP talk about midway through the season.
He's only succeeded in one kind of offense.
Ever. Well, then use that offense. What's
and
the
even
difference?
That offense, he falls apart in the second year, and then that offense has not proven to be successful.
So you don't think that Kyler Murray will ever be successful at
the
NFL
Kyler
level?
Murray does not have winning DNA and is not a leader.
So, doesn't have winning DNA. Never lost a game in high school.
No, I don't
Got
think,
his team to the to
listen,
the playoffs
I swear,
in college.
I pray the Texans get a play, you know, teams out of different areas of East Texas. If they do, they definitely have a shot at competing for a Super Bowl.
Well, wait a minute. A lot of guys, Matthew Stafford doesn't have winning DNA. All of a sudden he's winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Texans.
In the right situation.
The perfect situation. He didn't even play that great.
No.
Kyler Murray, what he did in high school is great.
What about in college? I mean, he's what do you mean winning DNA? He got to the playoffs in Oklahoma.
You think he's a leader and a winner in the NFL?
Well, okay.
I'm asking you a serious question.
I don't think that he's a loser, first of all. He doesn't have winning DNA. I think that's so inaccurate.
You think he's a leadership guy?
I don't like his body language. But he's a young player, dude. He can learn. It's not like you can't. He
I
can't
think
learn
that, when
that
you
stuff.
Have, here's what I truly believe. I'm willing to bet a $10,000 chip on it if I had one, and you gave it to me. It didn't come out of my own pocket.
Well,
Kyler
that's
Murray.
That's not really a bet.
Well,
then,
I like
now,
that's how I like to play that game.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray, I'd bet some pretty good money of my own on this one. I think I've got Kyler Murray read pretty well. I think he's been enabled. He's got a helicopter dad. Kyler jetted when things got a little tough at A&M. He got out of there. He got to the perfect spot.
Well, hold on. As much as I loved Summy and that staff, Kyle Allen was not good. It wasn't good with Kyle Allen.
I understand.
It wasn't good with Kyler Murray.
No question.
I mean, they really messed
and
that.
It worked
and
with
after
Lincoln.
John, I mean, Johnny, it
worked with Lincoln Riley. But here's what I'm saying.
He really worked with Lincoln Riley with good coaching.
There's similar stuff going on with Baker and with Kyler Murray. Kyler's even more pronounced. You have the front office leaking stuff about Kyler because they've got a real problem with how he behaves in the locker room. I had someone
else. That's
not
the way to go about it. Whatever. If they're leaking that stuff, it's not the way to
go
about it.
Well, that's my guess is where it's coming
from. Well, I would imagine. And you know what? That's garbage.
But here's the other thing. I'm not a fan of it either. But here's the other thing. You have players telling other people who we know, in from that locker room, this guy is a bad locker room guy. He's not well liked in the locker room. I just know too much about it to know that Kyler Murray is not the kind of guy that I would want leading a team. You know, especially when you see what you want it to look like with Burrow or, you know, Russell Wilson. Russell has some guys who, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, they have some guys who like him, don't like him, or whatever the case may be, but they're not bad leaders. They're not bad leaders. Now, I'm pointing at two of the elite guys, but I just feel like Russell, Kyler Murray, no, I don't think, when I say winning DNA, I'm talking about what it takes to be a leader of men and what it takes to play at your best when it's most counted upon. He hasn't done that in the NFL at all this year. I mean, in his career up to this point. He's in an offense that's never proven itself in the NFL. And then finally, you know, I feel like he's got, we already know he's physically on the lower end of the scale from a physical standpoint. So he can't, I feel like Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt running. I never feel that way with Kyler because I never see him take big hits. So I'm actually not that worried about about him getting beat up.
Physically, I mean, physically, he's...
He's tiny. He's wee.
He's wee, but he's also the most...
But I don't think he can play in every...
The most electric player in the NFL.
He has to play in a very specific... You have to have an offense.
So play that offense. What's the difference if you have to play in a specific offense?
I don't think he's worth it. I don't think he's worth saying, Kyler, we're going all in with all of our chips on him.
If he has to be in an offense and you don't want to run it, that's bad coaching.
What's bad coaching is deciding to go all in with a guy that you think has leadership issues.
Well, okay.
That's your fault.
Well...
You're asking if I want to take him. If you drafted him, that's on you. I agree with you. The Cardinals have to do everything they can to try to make it work outside of just...
Well, unless they get Deshaun Watson for him.
Giving
and then
him
what that pick was Deshaun Watson.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They wanted Deshaun Watson the year the Texans passed him up. They're going to draft Deshaun Watson. So I think they would love him. If I'm the Texans, I just don't want Kyler Murray. I don't think it's going to end well with Kyler Murray. And I think Kyler's one of those guys who, when the going gets tough... He will cause problems.
Yeah,
I think he will not be a problem solver. He will be a problem creator.
Your players grow up. I think this stuff is all fixable.
Why do you think everyone grows up?
Well, because a lot of times young players do.
But a lot of entitled players don't.
Well, I don't know about it. I don't know about all that. All I know is that he's about as electric and exciting as anybody in the NFL.
And it hasn't
the deal. Okay, you want him? You want Kyler Murray or Davis Mills?
I don't know. What's the over the next 3 years?
Over the next 7-8 years.
No, I'd rather have Davis. I can get out of Davis easy. I don't want to give up Deshaun for a guy that I end up saying that he's not it. Next guy.
Well,
that would be terrible.
Well, I don't know that you're saying Deshaun that about
for
Kyler
nothing.
Murray ever.
But I feel like I'm telling you my personal preference. Yeah. If I am GM, I'm not taking a chance on Kyler Murray. I don't. Like the mental makeup. I don't like the pointing, the finger pointing, the crying on the sideline, the throwing, the eye rolling, the deleting his Instagram. I mean, deleting all of his pictures of the team.
Your guy Deshaun did that too, so okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the stuff you want from a quarterback. I don't want a junior high kid or a sophomore girl in high school mentality when it comes to my team. I don't want that. I want a grown-ass dude who people in the locker room like, they rally around, and a guy who I know shows up when the going gets tough. And that's just not for me. You're asking my opinion? I wouldn't want it. I'd rather have Davis Mills. You know why? Because if I need to get out of Davis Mills, I can. And it didn't cost me Deshaun Watson. I'm moving him for a bunch of draft picks. I'm not moving him for Kyler Murray. Give me another quarterback. Will I move him for Russell Wilson? Yes, I will. The problem is Russell has a shorter lifespan.
Yeah, a much shorter lifespan.
But I'd rather have
that window.
I'd rather have his shelf span because at least I think he can help get some stuff right in a locker room too.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I would much rather have Kyler Murray than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's shelf life is much shorter than Kyler Murray's. Nuh-uh. No, give me
Kyler Murray's career touchdown interception is like. It's just over 2-1. That's not even that great by NFL standards.
He's a young player. I mean, he struggled early on. How long did it take Peyton to get 2-1?
I've heard he's spectacular. He's not spectacular.
Who said that he's spectacular?
You were just talking about how great he was. He's not that great. He was 24-10 this year. I mean, I don't know. I don't see this undeniable greatness with him. I really don't. I think Kyler Murray's fine in Cliff's offense. I think it's going to crank up some statistics. You know, some of the indicators have been pretty good. He takes a bunch of sacks. I don't know. I just, Kyler Murray is not, you might like him a lot. I'm just not a huge Kyler Murray. I like the, he's fun to watch. Kyler Murray is definitely fun to watch. But if my job were, I always look at this, if my job were depending on it as a general manager, I would not want to have my job depending on Kyler Murray. I really wouldn't. Wouldn't want to have had it on Josh Rosen, who was, you know, a problem guy. It's one thing to miss on the talent. You never want to miss on the character. And with the quarterback, when you're giving up Deshaun Watson, who is a made man in the league, I do not want a guy that I'm not sure about what his leadership qualities are and if he's going to delete us from Instagram at any point and turn it into a topic on SportsCenter. I don't want that, man. I don't. Deshaun's made the Texans a topic on SportsCenter. You know, and we never saw that coming. We never saw him signing a contract and saying, I quit. And at the time, I understood the frustration. He had Jack and ability, but he had a chance if he wanted to get rid of Jack Easterby. He had, and the Texans misplayed their lie. That's not a thing, but the Texans could have kicked the ball out. You know what the Texans could have done? They could have kicked the ball into the fairway and let Deshaun feel like he was part of the process.
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
But in the meantime,
they're too stupid. That's
let's
why.
Talk about.
Yeah, but they're too stupid. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how stupid they are.
When we come back, I want to talk about something, a very uncomfortable truth going on right now. And it pertained to Deshaun Watson at the time and his coaching search stuff. Something that's going on in the league right now where people aren't sure what to say anymore.
All right. Let's do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5
and
92.5.
Remind me, so don't forget.
In the meantime, you need to talk about drinking some Maestro.
Tequila, and it's not just any tequila, it's Maestro Dobel. Maestro Dobel is the tequila that has a bunch of different varietals. A lot of times you'll see, you know, a tequila maker will have one, two, or three different types of tequilas. Maestro Dobel, they've got the silver, they've got the Humito, which is smoked silver, the Diamante, which is their Cristalino, which is three different blends of tequilas, varietals that they charcoal filter. You have the Reposado and the Añejo, which are great for sipping tequilas. Reposado is great in cocktails as well. And there's something for everyone, including the very best that they make, which is their Añejo Extra Cristalino. In this beautiful bottle, I think it's over $100. It's a great gift to give, for example, if you want to show somebody that you love what they're doing for you from a work standpoint, maybe, that's a great gift. It's also one just great to have at your own house and to have as your sipping tequila. Whether it's tequila to sip, whether it's cocktails, our friends over at Maestro Dobel are here to take care of you. 11 generations of tequila makers, and they are some of the best in the business. Wherever fine liquor is sold, it's Maestro Dobel.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. What is it that you got?
All right. So, this is what's developed over time. Who was named... Two guys who it was rumored that Deshaun Watson would have wanted the Texans to interview had he been able to.
Bieniemy?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bieniemy and the other one was.
Or at least who fans always talked about. Eric Bieniemy was one. Do you remember the other one? He's the head coach now.
I forget.
Robert Saleh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Those are the two guys.
That's right.
And there was a belief that he would have pushed for Eric Bieniemy. That was just common, you know, people just, that was 2020, Bieniemy was kind of the hot name. A very strange thing has happened since that point. Eric Bieniemy, there are multiple positions, jobs that have been filled without Eric Bieniemy. There are multiple black GMs who have had a chance to hire Eric Bieniemy. They have not hired by Eric Bieniemy. A guy from his own staff, Ryan Poles, got hired in Chicago. They needed a coach to work with Justin Fields, presumably, did not hire Eric Bieniemy. That's a huge red flag. When Ryan Poles leaves the Chiefs,
how long they work
Justin Fields,
there?
And they worked there a long time. And, well, like 7 to 9 years. That's pretty long. And he doesn't even give him an interview. Then we find out Eric Bieniemy, it looks like his contract's not going to be renewed.
Well,
he's on a one-year contract.
Apparently they're talking, and might be this week even.
They're going to discuss his future.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure this out because Andy Reid has tried to get him a position. What is going on with Eric Bieniemy?
I don't know.
Where, because other coaches have gotten interviews, other coaches are named guys. It cannot just be about, I've seen too many people have just said, okay, it's a racist NFL, plantation mentality, blah, 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 and we'll just write it off. You're being too simplistic here. Something is going on. And I know Bieniemy has a background with some, like he roughed up a valet driver and stuff that's happened years ago. Is that stuff, I don't know how he interviews or any of that stuff. People who I know who know Eric Bieniemy really like him. I met Eric Bieniemy when he was sitting next to, he came up and talked to Maurice Jones-Drew. We were sitting at the Combine in 19, and I really liked him just talking to him. But I mean, I'm not interviewing him or anything like that, but I enjoyed talking ball with Eric Bieniemy. Something's up. Is Andy Reid pushing him to go out on his own so that he can get out from under Andy Reid's shadow? Is Andy Reid done with Eric Bieniemy and want to go in a different direction? Because he wants to, I think they've already had the quarterback coach, Mike Kafka, leave. So it's not like they have, I don't know who the Kansas City Chiefs have in mind there. Is this Andy trying to help him and say, hey, you need to go somewhere else so you get out from under my shadow? Is it Eric? Because it sounds like it's a Chiefs thing. I don't know if it's a, maybe it's a mutual thing. Maybe it's Eric Bieniemy not wanting to redo a deal. But all the reports have been the Chiefs. It's unsure if he's even going to be back there. I would assume he gets hired right away by somebody, right? As an offense coordinator? I read an article yesterday that he could go back to college and go coach in college. How do you go from being one of the top, and you're in Kansas City this whole time. It's not like they haven't had success. How do you go from being a name that everyone expects to be the next name to get hired somewhere to you're not even going to be with your own team? We'll see. Maybe he'll be a hot commodity on the market. I don't know how many teams need offensive coordinators because I reached out to Poles. He's got a coordinator.
Wouldn't he have been plucked already since his contract is up?
Behind the scenes, his agent would have been working to get him something else.
Yeah, right,
yes.
Right.
That's why this doesn't make sense. This isn't one of those things.
There's something about Eric Bieniemy that is not.
Something doesn't match up with the national narrative. And I don't know what it is. I have not heard.
Well, we kept hearing he was the hottest name. He's the hottest name. He's the hottest name. But that's a media creation or an agent creation.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything with teams.
And then when he doesn't get a job, he's that guy sitting in the green room just waiting and waiting and waiting.
How's it not Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, right.
That's like when somebody doesn't get drafted. When you hear,
that's what I'm saying. The green room.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing with like. Or I'm just thinking in January when I don't have somebody in the first round of a mock. What are you doing?
No.
That's a media creation. That's not really what's
right.
Gonna, your mock drafts aren't what's going to happen.
Geno Smith sitting there waiting. Geno Smith just sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And every time he's not drafted, Mel Kiper goes nuts.
I don't know. Or like when Mel Kiper went nuts over Brady Quinn, didn't end up being a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know what's. This is one of the strangest things to me that he went from being one of the most talked about to now he may be going to college somewhere. And you know what? Here's what I would do. Actually, if Eric Bieniemy really wants to go get a head coaching job, get a head coaching job. If it's at Colorado or where, it's not going to be Colorado, but if it's in college, then go get it in college. Do great. It really only takes 1 year. Honestly, that doesn't take a long time anymore. If you go kill it for 1 year at a school or 2 years, maybe.
It's a different deal though, Mandy. The recruiting aspect of it and all of that. He's been in the pros for so long. He probably like, I ain't going there.
Yeah.
I ain't doing all that.
No, I know, but Jim Harbaugh did and rebuilt rebuilt himself.
Jim Harbaugh didn't need to rebuild. Jim Harbaugh was the winner in San Francisco and just decided, I'm going back to college. He didn't have to rebuild.
Actually, no. Actually, yeah. But even before then, when he was at Stanford,
yeah,
he built his cachet up. And college to pro is not that big a deal anymore. And Eric Bieniemy is a pro coach. So if he went to college and had some success, if it's about looking presidential, so to speak,
yeah,
then Eric Bieniemy needs to look presidential. In other words, go be a coach. Show people what it looks like when you're a coach so they see you as a head coach. Because I can't figure this out. I don't know. It's just a very strange situation where we are, where one of the most talked about prospects may not even be an offense coordinator on his own staff anymore. And I haven't heard anything, and no one will say anything. I've kind of asked around and no one says anything. So I don't really know if there's something else going on there. He clearly is a good offensive mind. Andy Reid has had enough good things to say that I trust Andy Reid is not just blowing smoke. Andy Reid is not just going to go to bat for you like that. Eric Bieniemy has say so. I've talked to people with the Chiefs who say Poles has told me that Bieniemy has input in play calling, game plan design, all that stuff. It's just a very strange situation that this year, if you knew he was not going to renew in Kansas City, his agent should have had 3 or 4 jobs ready for him, even if it's as an offense coordinator somewhere else, because the best thing for him would have been get out from under Andy Reid's shadow and go prove yourself in another team.
Yep. Well, for whatever reason, Saleh got his, and for whatever reason, he ain't getting his. We'll find out. We'll find out what happens with Eric Bieniemy. It is a strange, strange situation. By the way, the Texans are now, speaking of black head coaches, the Texans are now on Brian Flores' list.
I saw.
How mean?
The Texans were not hiring him.
So wait a minute. The Texans just hired a black head coach, and then their next head coach was a black head coach.
The Texans' last three coaches.
But the Texans are apparently racist.
First team in NFL history with 3 consecutive black head coaches, if you go back to Romeo Crennel, who their last 3 head coaches are black.
And yet that's going to be a tough sell, I think.
Well, basically anybody, lawsuit is anybody
who didn't hire me
is racist. This time they're saying the lawsuit scared him away, I guess, but that's not going to hold any ground.
Guess what? If you sue the league, yeah, that scared us away. What do you mean? I mean, that you did something. We reacted to something. Yes, the lawsuit scared us away. And what?
His time in Miami scared a lot of people. That'll come out eventually, but people in the league are already talking about
it. But they have proof that Brian Flores was the guy before the lawsuit was filed.
That's why this holds no merit. Right. Like, the Texans aren't going to be in any trouble.
No.
You couldn't prove that.
But that's so silly. The Texans are a racist organization for not hiring me with their 3rd straight black head coach.
What if Bill O'Brien texted, congratulations. Oh, I thought you were Lovie Smith just to try to screw the Texans. Damn it. OB's back.
742 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Billy wins again.
We'll go through.
Can we go through
some
odds?
Interesting odds?
I want to go through odds for next year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, some interesting.
Your odds. Texans might be a bigger favorite than you realized.
Made
up.
It's going to pay. Listen, you want the Texans to win the Super Bowl?
If you think we're overly negative and the Texans aren't that far away, you got a chance to prove us wrong and make a lot of money doing it.
Okay. In the meantime,
worst to first, hello. Bengals.
You got a chance. Well, yeah, that's a little different. And you got a chance right now to get a lot of hair. That's what you got a chance for. If you're looking for a great way to get your hair back, okay? I did. I love it. I'm telling you, every morning, wake up, brush my hair. I don't have any mangy spots in the top of my head, which is, you know what? It was terrible, too. I mean, you just don't feel great. But listen, it's not super, you're so vain, you have to have hair. No, hair's hair. You want hair. Who cares? So what? You got to go to Doc Linville, and Doc Linville is going to move it. It's still your hair. It's not like you're wearing a rug. It's not like you're, by the way, it's natural. And, oh, by the way, it lasts, too, because it comes from the side and back of your head. Those are the follicles that don't fall out. So if you're looking for a great way to replace that hair, All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. It's a wonderful process. It's easy. It's affordable. Doc Linville is great. The whole staff is wonderful. The process is simple. I was in the chair for 4 hours. 8 months later, I got hair. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again.
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Super Bowl odds are out.
Feeling good.
And no surprise,
Or this Super Bowl. I'm looking at Caesars.
Kansas City Chiefs. Caesars? It's Caesars?
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. I got Jimmy Shapiro.
Well, I'll read those. That's fine. I've got those, too.
No. Go ahead, because
Here's Caesars. Chiefs are plus 650.
Right.
That means $100 wins you this amount of money. So they're 6.5 to 1. The Bills are 7 to 1. The Rams are 10 to 1. The Bengals are 12 to 1. Like that. I like taking a shot with the Bengals. Although, look at the Bengals now. They're literally the fourth high. They're the third AFC team. The 49ers are 14 to 1. The Packers are 15 to 1, which will plummet if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there. Cowboys 16 to 1. Those are too low for them. Those odds need to be higher, meaning like 20 to 1. Tampa 18 to 1. Nope. Well, unless they get Deshaun. Tennessee 20 to 1. Ravens 20 to 1. Tell me when you hear somebody that you really like. Broncos 22 to 1. The Patriots 25 to 1. I think I like the Patriots 25 to 1.
I think, where do you have Denver?
Denver is 22 to 1.
20.
Who did Denver get to where they're ahead of the.
I think that what they're saying is that.
What are they saying?
They're saying Aaron Rodgers? That they're getting Rodgers or Deshaun.
Well, that's a preemptive number. That's a preemptive number.
It is a preemptive
number.
There's
no way they'd be ahead of New England.
No, but
they're protecting themselves.
But you know what? It's going down markedly if any of those guys show up there. So that might be a great
time. It's a hedge for them.
That's right.
They're like 22 to 1.
Well, they're like, well, we can't go by Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater right now.
Well, because clearly that wouldn't be close.
No.
Chargers, Cardinals 25 to 1. Chargers 25 to 1. Colts 25 to 1. Vikings 30 to 1. Saints 35 to 1. Seattle 40 to 1. Cleveland 40 to 1. I mean, nobody believes in Baker Mayfield. But they got more talent than a 40-1 team, don't they? The Browns? They got a good offensive line, a great running game. I mean, they could use a little bit more. They got a great pass rusher. You know, but you got to have quarterback.
Yeah, and is he – well, he got a playoff win. He doesn't anymore. He's got a playoff win. He didn't again this year. I think the Browns could absolutely bounce back. But to me, I see 49ers. I can't have the 49ers up there with Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo. Is there a chance that they make a big move?
No.
Aaron Rodgers goes back to Northern California?
No, they already have.
Tom Brady goes to Northern California
where
he grew up?
They have put a lot of draft capital into Trey Lance. They believe in Trey Lance. I don't think they'll do that.
Well, then,
then
they shouldn't be at 1,400.
If you do that,
then they shouldn't be at 1,400.
I don't know. You don't think Trey Lance can make a move in that offense with Shanahan? Shanahan's got an offense
how
that
can
every
you say
quarterback
when
has
you
succeeded
can't,
in.
When you haven't seen him.
I know. It's tough, but I know that Jimmy Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl and got another close step from a Super Bowl, and he's not even that good.
What about Tennessee picking up
20 to 1?
Like 20 to 1, Tennessee might be a nice pick because suppose they go after it hard and actually get that quarterback position figured out.
What about Raiders
with that running game? If they had a quarterback that actually could win games,
Raiders 50 to 1
with Josh McDaniels.
Any chance that Aaron Rodgers goes there? I don't think so.
No, but
Falcons 60, Commanders 60, Steelers 60. How about the Steelers have now gone to 60 to 1? Well, they're one of the longest shots on the board. Bears 80. What about the Bears? If Aaron Rodgers leaves, and Justin Fields comes alive. Matt Eberflus, good defensive coordinator. I think 80 is a little disrespectful to what the Bears. If I had to take a flyer on somebody, the doesn't the division open Josh, wide up?
You think Justin Fields is going to take that big a step?
No.
No.
Panthers, 80. Giants, 100. Jacksonville, 125. The Lions, 150. The Texans, 200-1. That, to me, is... Okay, look, none of those teams are going to make it. But from an odds standpoint, the Texans could... Those odds should change immediately when Deshaun Watson gets traded, simply because, well, you wouldn't get all the draft picks this year, but you are going to get better this year. The Texans are going to get better this year, right? I mean, they have draft picks. They're going to get better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
they? Yes, they should get better.
Then 20-1 is a little
different. Well, but they won four games. The Jets, what does better mean?
I'm sorry, 200-1.
Six games means they're better.
Well, the Jets are 200-1. The Texans are 200-1. Now, the Lions, the Lions look pretty competitive. Giants, I don't know. I'm looking at this list, and some of the teams we're used to, the Ravens, there's not a lot of love for the Ravens here. I mean, the Ravens are 20-1.
Maybe the best bet is the Raiders, 50-1.
You think so?
I think so. At 50-1, the Raiders have a chance that we're in the playoffs. They've got a quarterback.
To truly
new
win.
Coach. If they don't have all of the drama that they had more drama than anybody. They were the worst red zone team in the NFL One of the worst red zone teams in history.
Let me ask you this. What about the Colts at 25-1? Now they're not going to get a great quarterback. What if they got Jimmy Garoppolo?
They're
the best running game, maybe in the league, the best running back in the league.
Well,
they got a good defense.
Them are the Titans,
but they did lose their almost entire defensive staff. Keep that in mind. They all went with Eberflus. Yeah. So I don't know what happens there, but you're 25-1 to Titans. But you have to be okay with Ryan Tannehill. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl bet.
And you know what though? You got to take a flyer on a team that's actually going
to.
That's why Denver
has a chance to win.
That's why Denver might be a good bet, is because you got to take a flyer on a team that's going to fix their quarterback position. And I think Tennessee might be another team that might do that. Tennessee might. Suppose it's been talked about Aaron Rodgers going to the Titans.
Nashville's the new Austin.
Go for it. You know what? What the Rams proved this year? Go for it.
Nashville's
go get that guy.
Nashville's a hot city that a lot of people want to live in. I could see that. And you get, on the other side, you get Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill's not the end of the world if you're the Green Bay Packers. You want to run the ball. Matt LaFleur runs that offense anyway that he plays in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the craziest thing in the world to flip-flop those guys. Then you got Love and Tannehill. You can kind of gauge Love maybe another year. That's not the craziest if you say, look, we will give you our first rounder this year, a second rounder this year, and Ryan Tannehill for Aaron
Rodgers. First rounders and a second.
No, I don't want to give you that.
Well, that's okay, because Ryan Tannehill is just what's the difference?
No, you keep going. I'm Titans.
Oh, okay. You're the Titans.
Yes. Yeah.
We want two firsts and a second.
No,
and
that's not.
It.
No.
Click.
Hold on. Hey. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Can we get your fourth this year?
No.
We get a fifth next year?
Two firsts and a second.
Can we get a fifth next year? No. No. Okay.
Okay.
But we want your second next year.
No, you get nothing. You get Aaron Rodgers. Bye.
If I were the Titans, I would run to do that, because that's an all-in move.
Well, so you would rather, but Tannehill doesn't solve any of your problems going there anyway. So
here's
the deal:
you just want
two firsts. You just want two firsts and a second. And listen, it's going to be the 31st or the 29th.
No,
the 30th,
I would want
the 31st.
I would want Tannehill. Tannehill gives you a shot right now.
What about Drew Lock?
Tannehill gives
what
you a shot.
What about Drew Lock giving you
Matt
a shot?
Matt LaFleur's offense comes from Matt LaFleur came from the Titans, right? If I remember correctly. I think Matt LaFleur came from the Titans, didn't he?
Was he? I don't remember. But regardless, what about Drew Lock and a couple of firsts and two firsts and 2 seconds and Drew Lock?
Drew Lock is intriguing to me. He's good enough to probably get you stuck, because he flashed just at the very end, and now you're like, oh, should we take a chance on Drew?
It was
on
interesting.
Drew Wentz?
It was interesting how appreciative Aaron Rodgers was of Matt LaFleur.
Did you know Matt LaFleur is with the Texans too?
Matt LaFleur was another. It was with another Gary Kubiak guy.
Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan, all in the building at the exact same time.
There's like a little.
Yes, clip. He was offense coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. LaFleur was the one who started the Derrick Henry freight train.
Yeah.
So I think he might be interested in Ryan Tannehill. Frankly, that I think we just made a trade.
You think that we just?
I think
did
we
it.
Just made a deal.
It's interesting, though, how Aaron Rodgers was appreciative of Matt LaFleur. Would it surprise you at all if Aaron Rodgers said, "I'll do one more year in Green Bay"?
I would make it the favorite.
Yeah.
I would make Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay the favorite. Because to get these deals to go through, it takes two parties. It's going to be hard. I think Aaron Rodgers could also retire.
No.
Why not?
He's not retired. No way.
Well, sit out the year. He could call to retirement and then come out of retirement when Green Bay decided they were going to. He's basically just telling them, I don't need the money. I'll just retire for now. And if you ever want to trade me, I'll be willing to come back. If you trade me to one of these three teams. I could see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then he may end up staying retired, and at least it keeps a door open for him.
JD says Chargers plus 2,500. 25 to 1.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either. I don't hate it either. They got the quarterback in place. They just got to figure out that.
And can Lamar Jackson catch fire again in another year? Because if so, I don't think the Ravens at 20 to 1 is terrible. Although their defense sometimes is a little bit up and down.
There's something missing there. 757 ESPN 97.5.
There is something missing.
Time for you. YouTube just took a little jab at him. That's unfortunate.
Sitejab.com. Let Sitejab build your website from the ground floor up. I've said this before. Like, I see a lot of restaurant websites when I go check them out, and I think, you know what would be great is if Sitejab had worked on this website, because you could do so much more now with e-commerce, being able to go direct to the consumer with so many, you know, instead of the food delivery services, you got a chance to do much, much more than that. Integrated videos. I would have videos of chefs in the kitchen preparing specialized dishes and have videos that are integrated and shot professionally by Sitejab. These are just some of the things I would personally do. For your business, you got a chance to do the same thing, whether you're in welding or I don't know, pipe fitting. I don't know what your business is, but small to medium-sized businesses in Houston use Sitejab all the time. They've been in business for over two decades. And what they do is they build out your brand. And that's an unbelievable opportunity for you to get the message out to people, what you do, your services, and then do it in such a fashion where Sitejab builds out your website to include all the analytics that have people staying on your site for longer, engaging with your site for longer, and then turning those eyeballs into actual business leads. Sitejab.com, look at their portfolio of services. They're more than just a web building company. They are an entire suite of products designed to help make you more money. Sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.